This is the Big E Sports Show
on the Sports Map Radio Network.
From the Sports Map Radio studios, here's Elissa Walker Campbell.
Hey, it is hard to believe we are already in week five of the college football season, gearing up for a number of big games that are already underway on this Saturday. We've got a lot to share over the next 2 hours. But first, be sure and mark down, we've got a brand new time slot, Saturdays 3 to 5 Eastern, and also many different ways to connect, always live on social media, at eRadio Sports. You can email the show, info@eradiosports.com. If you miss any of our interviews, my amazing producer, Luke Mario, he uploads each and every one at podcastarena.com, and download our app. Take us anywhere, anytime for the latest sporting news and all the developing stories. Of course, we are powered by Progressive Insurance. And did you know that drivers who switch and save with Progressive, they save nearly $700 on average? Go to progressive.com or 1-800-PROGRESSIVE. Well, we're going to lead off our program. We're going to head out to the Big 12 Conference and talk some Oklahoma football as they are ranked 14th in the nation, unbeaten after that 20-6 victory over Cincinnati, joining Texas and Kansas as the remaining three undefeated teams in the Big 12. Delighted to have back with us from CBS Sports Radio Network in OKC, one of my favorite people on the planet, and that is the great James Hale, who had a big birthday this week. I trust you and your girlfriend Cindy, you guys just had a wonderful time celebrating. How are you, Jay?
I'm doing great, Ian. Thank you very much. The good thing is the good Lord gave me another year.
Yes.
And that's the main thing about it. And I can still do a show. I'm still functioning. I'm still doing great and haven't had any major problems yet. And so, you know, everything is going great. But thanks for saying that. You've always been great with me. And I love you, man, and appreciate you saying that. Thank you.
Oh, right back at you. Well, Oklahoma is hoping they don't have any problems tonight against Iowa State. Kickoff set for 7 o'clock Eastern time on FS1. And I guess my question to you is, Jay, you know, what have we learned about the Sooners through the first four games of the season?
We've learned that their defense is much improved. Their defense is legit. Is it a great defense yet? Brent Venables doesn't want to say that. So, okay, we won't. But it's a really good defense, and it's so much better than what it was that it plays like a great defense. You no longer fear. You feel like you have a great chance to get off the field now. If the defense is on the field late in the game, or if a team is driving, you feel the defense can stiffen and get off the field. And they've been able to do that so far this year. They're second in the country in scoring against. They're only giving up 8.5 yards a game. That ties for second. And you're talking about with great defenses that are ranked up there, like Penn State and Michigan and Ohio State, that is supposed to have great defenses. Well, there you see Oklahoma. Now, that's where Oklahoma is supposed to be defensively. But Oklahoma has lost its way defensively under Lincoln Riley. And you know, towards, you know, there were times, too, when, you know, under Bob, especially when teams went to the spread and went to the West Coast offense, the Sooners had trouble catching up. But Brent was doing a great job at Clemson, battling those defenses, and he's brought those same defenses that he used at Clemson back to Oklahoma, which is something similar to what they were doing when he was the defensive coordinator for Bob Stoops. You know, but you know, they've advanced it, and they've now changed some of it because you have to combat the spread offense and the multiple receivers that are on the field all the time. So, you know, then he had to get the personnel. You know, at the end of the year, 16 guys or 20 guys transferred out. Most of those guys did not play last year. Only a couple played at all last year. The other 18 really were backup players that never saw the field. So you didn't lose anybody that was really a key player for you. Then they went out and got 16 players, 10 that are on the defensive side of the ball, and those players have been major additions. They've all been hits. They've all been players that are contributing, and it's given the Sooners some depth, the kind of quality depth they haven't had in a while. I mean, against Cincinnati, they played four corners.
Yeah.
They played four safeties. They played eight defensive linemen or 10 defensive linemen, and they played three cheetahs. That's quality depth in a close game that's 20-6, that they played 33 guys on defense. And OU played great defense. I mean, Cincinnati was held 100 yards short of what their average was rushing against Oklahoma. They were held out of the end zone. They didn't score a touchdown. Emory Jones, who's a really good quarterback, really couldn't get anything going against OU. So that's the big change. I mean, defensively, that's where Oklahoma has really improved, and it's given Oklahoma a chance to win every game that they play this year, because defense travels. We know offense doesn't, but defense does. And OU is a really good defensive team now.
Oklahoma has only allowed just, 34 points in the first four games. I'm just curious, what was your expectations defensively? Because it seems like each and every year when you talk about Oklahoma football, everyone's been, you know, peppering their conversation, talking about what are they going to do defensively?
Well, my expectations were they were going to be a lot better. It was going to be year two under Brent. And I had had a chance to see them a lot during spring practice and the spring game. And, you know, we heard nothing but rave reviews during the summer that everybody was progressing. And then we had a chance to see them a lot during training camp. And the defense just looked better. You know, guys playing in the second year of Brent's defense that now have bought into that defense. And that means that they're showing up. Brent used a great example of this the other day. On Sunday last year, he said, you know, we even provide food for them on Sunday. They can, you know, and you know, ask them to all come up and, you know, to get your treatment, study film.
Yeah.
We're up here. We're working on the next opponent, but we're up here. You can talk to us and, you know, we can work on some things. And he said very few guys came up. He says this year, he goes, it's probably a 92% buy-in that everybody is showing up. He goes, everybody's eating food together. Everybody's getting treatment together. Everybody's watching film together. And he goes, and that buy-in to what the defense is allowing them to study more, to know the defense better. And so now when you're playing it, you're not thinking as much. You're just reacting to what you see. You're trusting your eyes, and you're getting better. And so I expected them to be better. They are better. I expect Brent to have a great defense. It looks like he's on his way to do that. They continue to recruit to it. Five-star David Stone's committed to this. P.J. Abadawar, who they recruited last year, all of a sudden has played 52 reps the last 2 weeks. He looks like he's a dynamite young defensive end in the program. We're talking about guys that pedigree, recruiting rankings, they should be first-round draft choices in the future in the National Football League. All of a sudden, you're getting that kind of talent again in the defensive line. And Danny Stutzman, I think, is the best linebacker in college football. So I knew they were going to be better. I was hoping they would be better, and that's exactly what they are. They're just a better defensive team.
Okay, so expound some more talking about Danny Stutzman. He is so impressive. What led the team with a total of 13 tackles, those guys holding Cincinnati to just 6 points. What is it about Danny that impresses you the most?
Well, he's a ball magnet. In other words, he finds the ball, and that's the first thing. Second of all, he led the Big 12 in tackles last year and still wasn't named first team all Big 12 at linebacker.
Wow.
You know, how does that happen, right?
Right?
So anyway, he now leads the Big 12 in tackling by 7 tackles going into the Iowa State game tonight. So, but Danny has become a student of the game. When he first got to OU, he wasn't. I mean, Brent would talk about him during press conferences and go, well, he's a funny guy, and you guys love him, and he's great on social media. You know, he goes, but I asked him if he's going to come and get his playbook yet, because his playbook is still sitting in my office, and he said he didn't need it. I said, okay, cool. You don't need it?
Uh-huh.
Fine. That's great. And as he plays, he's starting for us, and as he's busting, I'm going, you know, that was in the playbook this week. So finally, he came and got it. And all of a sudden, he's asking me questions out of it. All of a sudden, I'm getting texts. And I'm getting phone calls at 11 o'clock at night. I'm saying, hey, I'd rather talk to my wife than you. But anyway, what do you want? And so, you know, so he's become a guy that has really become a student of the game. And that's just showing up. And he's become a team leader. And because now he's a student of the game, because he's putting in extra work with film, because he's asking questions. Last year, he could not lead the walkthrough on Friday, which is what Brent likes to do is ask the players about the game plan, and the players then walk through the game plan for the opponent. He couldn't do that last year because he did not understand the defense well enough. Now, he's always the first guy to want to do the walkthrough on Friday, and he's incredible at it. He understands it, and you see it in his play. He is anticipating what the play is going to be off what he sees, and often he's meeting the running back in the hole a yard or two deep, and it ends up being a tackle for loss or a play for no gain. And he's a sure tackler. He gets his hands on you. Most of the time, he brings you down. And as he admits, sometimes I'm hanging on for dear life, but I'm going to get the guy down. So you see him hanging on to an ankle, but he's hanging on, and he gets the guy down. Sometimes he delivers a wicked hit, and he's become a hard hitter at that position. So he's a fun guy. He's a joy to be around. His family is a fun family. They're great to be around, and he is becoming a great football player. And he reminds you of Boz a little bit, the way he plays.
Okay, yeah. Uh-huh.
He's not quite that out there. He's not really into his own thing as much as Boz was when he played. And Boz was the most instinctive linebacker that I've seen. I mean, I had a chance to see Rod Schoed a little bit in the mid-70s, and Rod was incredibly gifted and fast. But I always thought Brian was an instinctive, astute linebacker that really studied his craft. Well, Stutzman is doing the same thing, and they had a chance to meet at the beginning of the year. Brent asked Brian to come down and talk to the team,
nice,
the very first practice, and so they had a chance to meet and talk. And so when he hears people compare him to Brian, he's really excited about that.
We're going to step aside for a quick commercial break. Much more coming up at Sports Map Radio Network, the Big East Sports Show.
Listening to the Big E Sports Show on the Sports Map Radio Network. From the Sports Map Radio Studios, here's Elissa Walker-Campbell.
Hey, we are so glad you're with us on the Saturday afternoon. Sports Map Radio Network, the Big E Sports Show. Chime in on the conversation. Join us at E Radio Sports. Of course, going one-on-one with a familiar voice, James Hale, CBS Sports Radio Network in Oklahoma City, host of Total Sports. You can check him out 2 to 5 Central Time. Also, check out his Patreon page and subscribe. James, what are they going to find there?
3 to 5 podcasts today that are short. You know, 3 to 5 minutes. These podcasts that are an hour and a half, 3 hours long, I'm always going, huh? So I just came up with this concept. You want the news? I'm going to give it to you quick.
Yeah.
Here's the news. 3 to 5 minutes, and I'm going to cover OU football, OU football recruiting. Then I'm going to cover every other sport that OU has something going on. And I'm also going to cover recruiting in those sports. And, so I'm going to give you what I think the Sooner fan really wants to hear. A diehard Sooner report.
Countdown is on Oklahoma, Iowa State. So as we look ahead to tonight's game, what are some of the challenges that the Cyclones present offensively?
Well, offensively, they're running the same stuff they ran when Brock Purdy was the quarterback. You know, this team got hit by that gambling scandal at the beginning of the year. So they lost their quarterback. They lost their starting running back. They lost their starting tight end, starting left guard. And yet, Coach Campbell's a really good coach, and Matt Campbell's been able to steady the ship, and they've got a freshman quarterback that is pretty good, and so they're trudging along. They scored 34 points last week against Oklahoma State, and so they're beginning to figure some things out, and they'll come into this game with an offense that's a little bit better. Where Iowa State is still fantastic on the defensive side of the ball. Coach Hatch has done a great job on defense. He still runs the 3-3-5 umbrella defense that he's made famous. Brent, when he was at Clemson, actually traveled to Iowa State and spent a week with him learning the 3-3-5, and Brent has incorporated, certainly used that at Clemson some. He doesn't use it as much here at OU, but they've got it, and he will use it when he gets more talented defensive linemen on the roster. But Iowa State runs that 3-3-5, and they lead the defense, or they lead the Big 12 in most defensive categories. If they're not leading it, Oklahoma's leading it. Texas is pretty good defensively this year too. So teams are getting better on defense, and Iowa State's been really good the last 3 years. And the last 3 years, they're 1-2 against OU, but every game has been a barn burner. And, you know, they had all those pros. They had Purdy. They had Kolar. They had Hill at running back. They had Rose at linebacker. They had all those guys, and all of them are playing in the National Football League. And then you lose your starters at the beginning of the year. Coach Campbell, again, and he and his staff have done a great job. They've solidified everything, but this is going to be a tough game for them today. Oklahoma's really good. Oklahoma wants to continue to play well. They're beginning to get recognized on a national basis, and they feel like they're a good football team. And one thing that's interesting, I think OU or fans, or even the back in the Coach Switzer's day, they really worried about the game before the Texas game. Brent doesn't worry about that. He doesn't want to talk about it. He doesn't bring up the Texas game, so it doesn't come up. And none of the players, and even when the media tries to bring it up to the players, they don't want to talk about it, and they don't. So I don't think OU's worried about Texas yet. And they'll have Iowa State's going to have their full focus, and that means a really good football team is going to have their full focus on them. And I think it's going to be a tough day for the Cyclones.
CBS Sports Radio Network, James Hale with us a few more minutes at Sports Map Radio. We've already hit on and talked about the Sooners defensively. What have you seen offensively so far?
Well, they've been pretty good. I mean, OU is a pretty good offensive team. Dylan Gabriel is one of the top quarterbacks of the country. But they've had two games when, for whatever reason, they haven't necessarily fired against SMU. That was a three-point game going early in the fourth quarter. OU ended up winning by a couple of touchdowns against Cincinnati last week. OU won 20-6 in a game that they left probably 14 points on the field. They fumbled at the 11. Dylan overthrew a wide-open Jaleel Farouk. There were a couple of other throws. And yet Dylan threw for 321. He threw for, you know, a touchdown. And, you know, so, you know, again, things are going pretty well. OU's not running the football like you would expect. And it's been because, in my opinion, they're going with four running backs. And they play a duo. They've got an older duo of Marcus Major and Tywee Walker, and a younger duo of Javonte Barnes and Gavin Sawchuk. And they've been alternating those guys almost every other game. Sawchuk didn't play in the first game, but he and Barnes got all the reps against Tulsa. And it's been unique. But because of it, in my opinion, OU's not running the football very well. And then, you know, Bird has been hurt at left tackle. And that's put Everett in there. And Everett's a transfer from Appalachian State that's a really good player. He's been a center most of his career. He's a little light at 297 pounds. He's a good player, and they need to satisfy what they're doing at left guard. So this offense has been good. Now the wide receivers have emerged. Andrew Anthony has been the alpha so far, and he has been great in every game. It's 4, 5, 6, 7 catches for over 100 yards. Jaleel Farouk got off to a slow start, but he's now rocking out there. And, you know, he's got the best running ability among the group. But the guy that's really emerging is Nick Anderson, a redshirt freshman that's 6'4", 204 pounds, the younger brother of Rodney Anderson.
Oh, yeah.
And he has caught 8 passes, and he scored 4 touchdowns. So he's a touchdown maker. And Jaden Gibson is a 6'5", 194-pound wide receiver that makes tough catches, that has had 3 catches that are just climbing the ladder and making catches. And then, of course, you have Drake Stoops and Gavin Freeman inside, the two slot guys that are really, really good.
Uh-huh.
And this is the last time that we're going to have a Stoops on the field at OU, so we're cherishing that. And Drake's having a really good year, and so is Gavin. So the only thing that OU hasn't done is run the football really well, and they haven't really gotten the tight ends going. And that's disappointing because Austin Stardner is a really good tight end, and they haven't been able to get him going. Dylan doesn't really look for the tight ends, it looks like to me. He's always looking for the slot guys or outside guys. And sometimes a quarterback has to have it in his mind that I'm going to, you know, this position You know, I'm going to hit this position. OU's had quarterbacks. It's always looked for the tight ends, but that's not really what Dylan does. And so that's a really good guy that they could still get going. So we'll see. I think OU's been really good on offense. I think they've been a little bit inconsistent. They haven't really been able to run the ball like they need to. We'll see if they can get it going tonight.
Hey, we are set and ready. Oklahoma, Iowa State. Our very special guest has been James Hale, CBS Sports Radio Network in OKC. My final question for you is, give me a quick hit. Let's look ahead to Texas. How do you see that matchup playing out?
Well, Texas, you know, they're playing Kansas right now. And, you know, how that game turns out is going to be interesting. OU needs to take care of business here. But this will be the first time, if both teams take care of business, that we'll have undefeated teams, teams that are ranked in probably the top 12 of the country, playing in the Cotton Bowl. And that's going to mean a lot, right? There's a lot riding on this game. These two teams that are leaving the Big 12 at the end of this year are the two best teams in the conference, it looks like. And so who really gets the edge at this point will take place in the Cotton Bowl next Saturday. It's again, a rooster kick at 11 o'clock. And I'm okay with that. Just get it on. Let's get it on early. Let's play. You know, let's go. Uh-huh. And, you know, and that's the way to do it. And that game is going to feature two great wide receiver cores. Texas has a great wide receiver core. Both defenses are playing better. OU's a little better, but both defenses are playing better. Quinn Ewers is the more celebrated quarterback, a former five-star, but Dylan Gabriel has better stats at this point. And both teams kind of searching for a running game. I think these teams are at a similar spot. Texas has the marquee win at this point at Alabama.
Right.
That, you know, gives them an edge. They'll be favored in the game, but it's going to be a barn burner, and it's going to be, I think both teams are going to play great in that game. It's going to be the game, one of the games, top games of the year, that's for sure.
It is week 5 of the college football season. Always a true pleasure when we have the opportunity to catch up with legendary radio host of Total Sports on CBS Sports Radio Network in Oklahoma City, and that is James Hale. Give him a follow, social media at jhale24, and also subscribe, patreon.com, Diehard Sooner Reports, and James has you covered. Thanks, Jay. Enjoy the game tonight, and we will catch up real soon.
Hey, thanks, E. Have a great day.
You bet.
Love you. Bye.
Right back at you. Much more coming your way. Sports Map Radio Network, the Big E Sports Show.
Listening to the Big E Sports Show on the Sports Map Radio Network. From the Sports Map Radio Studios, here's Elissa Walker-Campbell.
Hey, Elissa Walker-Campbell, welcome back. Sports Map Radio Network, the Big E Sports Show, and our Week 5 coverage of the college football season will continue here in Hour 1, but right now we're going to shift gears. We're going to talk some NFL news and notes, and thrilled to have back with us 10-year NFL alum, the head football coach at Fort Bend Christian Academy right here in Sugar Land, Texas. Always an honor to be joined by Jordan Black. Hello, Coach.
Hey, how are you?
Hey, good to have you on the program. We've got a lot to get into, a lot of matchups we want to break down, but we want to zero in on your former team, and that, of course, is the Chiefs. They drafted you, I would say, back in the day, 2003, and they are on the road, and tomorrow we'll face the Jets for an 8:20 kickoff Eastern time. Certainly, expectations being the Super Bowl champs, it's very high, but give us your assessment. What have you seen from the Chiefs so far this season?
I've learned that you can make a whole lot of money if you get somebody on your team to date Taylor Swift. I don't really worry about the Chiefs at all. I mean, number one, as long as you have Patrick Mahomes, things are going to work out well for you. And then, you know, Kelsey obviously is a weapon, but as creative as Reed is with that offense, they're always going to be potent. You know, you don't even need your defense to be great with those guys. So as long as you have a defense that can, you know, pick it up at least in the red zone and hold teams to field goals, the Chiefs are going to be they're going to be fine. They're going to be phenomenal. And in all honesty, probably my pick to win the Super Bowl this year.
So when you look at the layout of the schedule, does it allow them to repeat as Super Bowl champs? Because that second half of the schedule, it's brutal. I took a look at it. I mean, can they emerge as the AFC's number one seed and defend that Super Bowl title?
Yeah, I tell you, it is brutal right now, looking forward. Mm-hmm. But at the end of a long 17-game season, what looks brutal at the beginning might not be that bad by the time you get there. So you see teams every year. Sometimes they start slow, sometimes they start fast. But really the teams that you got to worry about at the end of the season are the ones that get hot at the end of the year. So, you know, will they make it through this schedule? I think by the time it's all said and done, they'll be fine. And the thing with the NFL is it literally is any given Sunday, anything can happen. I mean, every team is talented enough to beat the other team. So as long as you've got a team that prepares and remains focused throughout the year, you got a good shot. So the schedule doesn't worry me like maybe it does other people. So they'll be fine.
Well, what I hear you saying, Jordan, is that for the Chiefs, you can't overlook any opponent. I mean, we think back to last week, my Cowboys on the road against the Cardinals. Like, what happened?
Yeah, that was very strange. I did not see that coming at all. But, you know, I think the stat in the NFL, teams on the road, mm-hmm. home teams, I think your chance of winning a home game, it's like 70%. So just the fact that you're at home, that's a huge advantage. So in the NFL, you'll learn really quickly that one of the things that all coaches are going to emphasize is win your home games. And you'll even have some coaches say, win half of your road games. So just going somewhere, regardless of the team you're playing, it's hard to win on the road. I'm not trying to make excuses for the Cowboys. I mean, that's a game that they should have won.
Right.
I just think flat out they're more talented than Arizona. But like I said, any given Sunday, you never know what happens. The team that prepares the best during the week in the NFL is typically the one that's going to win.
Hey, former NFL offensive tackle Jordan Black with us at SportsMap Radio Network, the Big East Sports Show. Of course, played with the Chiefs, the Texans, the Saints, and the Redskins and the Jaguars. And so as we look ahead to the Chiefs-Jets tomorrow, I mean, what are the chances? I mean, it's all about belief, right? So what are the chances that the Jets could pull off a major upset? I mean, they've just got to find a way to keep this game close. Can they do it?
Right, and what are they going to do at quarterback?
Exactly.
What's going on there? Can the Jets? Man, no, I don't think the Jets can do it. I think the Chiefs are gonna win that one. But you know, I will say the Chiefs, they do have a lot of publicity now. I mentioned Taylor Swift earlier.
Yeah.
So is this going to be a distraction for them? Is this going to be the Jessica Simpson type of situation that Tony Romo and the Cowboys faced years ago? So that is something to consider. But yeah, like I said, I think Chiefs win that game, no problem.
You know, just out of curiosity, what were your expectations for the Chiefs coming into this season? Because obviously everything has changed now with the loss of Aaron Rodgers. Where were you at in terms of with the Jets, excuse me?
So, yeah, Aaron Rodgers, like I said, the quarterback is so important. And having a veteran, one of the top quarterbacks to ever play the game, what they do going forward, I don't know. But my perception of their situation is they're just kind of in disarray right now. But you never know. You've seen stories like, you know, Kurt Warner and the St. Louis Rams. So what are the chances of that happening in New York? Something similar? I don't know. But it is possible, and we'll see what happens. Maybe they'll provide us with some content that they can make a movie about one day in the future.
Mm-hmm. Jordan, you played in the NFL for 10 years, and as I think about Aaron Rodgers, I mean, just how difficult is it to bounce back from an Achilles heel injury? I mean, what's the biggest challenge that he's going to face as he tries to rehabilitate and return?
His age. I think that's an injury that a younger player can bounce back from, but you know, anytime you're dealing with somebody that's older, it's always going to be harder. You can look over the NBA and how Kobe tried to come back. He did come back from it, but he wasn't exactly the same. And Aaron Rodgers is going to have the same sort of difficulty. When I first saw it happen, I just figured that was the last game he's ever going to play in. So whether or not it is, we'll see. I wish him the best, and I hope he does come back.
Mm-hmm. NFL alum Jordan Black with us this Saturday afternoon at SportsMap Radio Network, the Big E Sports Show. Love to connect with you. Join us on social media at eRadio Sports. You can go back and listen to all of our interviews at podcastarena.com. And, Jay, we want to talk about one of your other former teams, and that, of course, is the Texans. And just how impressed have you been with C.J. Stroud so far?
No, he's taking care of the football pretty well. I was actually at the game when they played Indianapolis.
Mm-hmm.
And got to watch them firsthand. Offensively, you know, they had their struggles. They're also playing with they don't have a few offensive linemen up there to protect him. But I think they got it turned around there at Jacksonville. And, you know, I look for him to have a great season. I mean, they're already talking about, they think they found their franchise guy. So, he's just got to show that he can win consistently. He's got to have that intangible quality that all the other great quarterbacks have, and that's just the ability to rally his team, to make his teammates better, and to start stacking up wins.
What do you think as far as the Steelers' defense? I mean, is that going to be the biggest challenge that Stroud will have faced so far this season?
Yeah, definitely. That Steelers' defense is always a challenge.
Mm-hmm.
But another thing is, you know, how many offensive linemen is he going to have in front of him that are ready to go and protect him? Because, you know, the pass rush is coming, and, you know, Pittsburgh has a knack for getting to the quarterback. So if he's got healthy linemen in front of him, you know, hopefully he'll be all right and show everybody that he is the franchise quarterback that they claim that he is.
Okay, so we've highlighted C.J. Stroud. What are your thoughts about the star receiver and rookie Tank Dell?
I think he's a pretty elusive little guy.
Yeah.
You know, he's just one of those players. You know, there's not a lot of guys like him. I think they're using him the right way. I think they're getting him in space, and as long as they can do that, I mean, he is absolutely a weapon for sure.
Hey, we're talking the Texans with Jordan Black, former NFL offensive tackle, also the head football coach at Fort Bend Christian Academy in Sugarland, Texas. He led his Eagles to the first state championship for the football team. That's the first time in school history. And speaking of coaches, I mean, weigh in on the Texans head coach, D'Amico Ryan. Just the job that he has done, obviously, he's come out strong.
So I think the first thing that people got to realize is the Texans have been in a bad situation as far as their salary cap. So he's having to kind of rebuild this team at a disadvantage right off the bat. Now, I think they're slowly getting to a place where they can manage that a little bit better. But I think, you know, the first two games were kind of rough. But I think in Jacksonville you saw that, you know, they're going to start getting it rolling. And that was kind of my expectation for D'Amico. You know, any new head coach coming into a situation like that, they've got to get a feel for it. And once they get comfortable, once they kind of know the players and the personnel that they have, it might take a couple weeks. But he's the type of coach that will definitely get it going, and they will be more successful, and they will play better defense every week.
We've been going one-on-one with Jordan Black, NFL alum. Always a true pleasure when we have a chance to catch up with you. Thanks, Jordan.
Yes, ma'am. Thank you so much.
You bet. Stick around. Much more coming your way. The fastest 2 hours in radio, Sports Map Radio Network. We will be right back after this quick break.
Listening to the Big E Sports Show on the Sports Map Radio Network. From the Sports Map Radio Studios, here's Elissa Walker-Campbell.
Okay, welcome back. Hour 2, Sports Map Radio Network, the Big E Sports Show. If you are just joining us, I'm your host, Elissa Walker-Campbell. Always love to hear from all of our listeners across the nation at eRadio Sports. You can email the show info@eradiosports.com. Of course, being sponsored by Progressive Insurance. Bundle home and auto and save. Visit progressive.com. Well, our NFL news and notes, the coverage does continue, and we are so thrilled to have with us in studio, that is my producer, Luke Luke Mario. He is host of Mario on the Mic right here at Sports Map Radio Network. Hello, Luke.
Hey, good to be back for another weekend.
Hey, it's great to have you on, and let's start off our conversation and talk about your team. Unfortunately, they are 0-3 right now, so what has gone wrong with the Minnesota Vikings?
Well, where to start? Yeah, 0-3, as you said, but the three losses have come by a combined 13 points in the three games. So for the Vikings, it's interesting. They have the leading passer in Kirk Cousins in the league. Justin Jefferson leads the league in receiving yards, and then Danielle Hunter leads the league in sacks, and yet they're 0-3. So when you look at it, the numbers are good, and it sounds like a cop-out, but it really is just bad luck. There's an analytical metric that measures luck for teams in the NFL, and right now the Vikings by far are dead last in luck this year. Additionally, Pro Football Focus, you know, ranks the teams based off of performance, and there's four teams that are winless in the NFL right now. The other three winless teams are ranked at the bottom of the league. Pro Football Focus has the 0-3 Vikings as the ninth best performing team in the league right now. So it sounds like a typical Vikings fan making excuses, but it really just has been a lot of bad luck. They found ways to lose. They've turned the football over way too much, and that was the case again last Sunday. They had a chance to win, and Kirk Cousins' pass goes off the hands of his receiver, and it's intercepted in the end zone to lose the game instead against the Chargers. So hoping that the luck will turn around, but it's been a frustrating start to the season for sure.
Absolutely. So give us your assessment of Kirk Cousins.
Well, he's played well. You know, it's not entirely his fault. Week two against the Eagles, his receivers had three fumbles. You know, you can't blame Kirk Cousins for that. But at the same time, Kirk has always been, I think the most vexing part is he's kind of like empty calories. He puts up big numbers. He plays well, but, you know, in the big moments, it doesn't make enough plays. He's having a good season, and yet the team's 0-3. And again, maybe it's not entirely Kirk's fault, but when you're paying the quarterback a lot of money, you hope he can be the guy that can carry you to a victory, that when the chips are down, he'll put you on his back, make the plays, and get you a win. And this year, again, not entirely his fault, but they've had three close games. They've lost by one score in all three games, and it's been a play here or there. And in the end, you look at the box score, and the numbers are great, but it's like, well, you know, we're still not finding ways to win, and that'll always fall back on the quarterback. So he himself, he's having a pretty good year, but not good enough to elevate this team, evidently, to some wins so far.
Okay, so Luke, when you look at the schedule for the Vikings, do you like how it's going to play out, maybe ease up a bit?
It will ease up a little bit. Now, they do have to play the Chiefs next week, so that's obviously not very easy. But the good news for Minnesota, when you look at teams that are 0-3 in the NFL, look, only one out of 99 have made the playoffs the last 20 years, so it's a long shot. But for the Vikings, I think the one saving grace is that division, or even just the fact that they're in the NFC. The NFC is still pretty wide open. You have about three good teams at the top, and then we'll figure out everybody else. And in that division, same idea. You know, we'll see. If the Vikings won last week, they'd almost be in first place, and now they're 0-3, so they're still not out of it. The schedule will ease up. They'll play those teams in their division. They'll play more teams in the NFC. It's the weaker conference, so they'll have a chance to win some games. You know, they've played the Eagles and the Chargers, two playoff teams from a year ago, the last 2 weeks. So that's their saving grace. That division should remain open, you would think, and they'll get some winnable games. Like tomorrow, the 0-3 Panthers, you know, you got to find a way to win that game.
So what about the Bears and the Broncos? They play each other tomorrow. Who's been the bigger disappointment?
Yeah, it's a great question because they've both been dumpster fires. I think the Broncos have been the bigger disappointment because of expectations. You know, the Broncos in 2021 were 7-10. They were almost 500.
Yeah.
They had a top 10 defense. They had a top 10 rushing attack. And so at that point, if you told me this Broncos team is going to add Russell Wilson this year and then add Sean Payton next year, and I were to predict how 2023 would go, I certainly would not guess 0-3 and having just allowed 70 points last week to the Dolphins, which was just an embarrassment. So I think expectations. I know a lot of people are high on the Bears this year, which I did not understand. They were the worst team in the league last year, and I didn't think they made very many improvements. Still have an unproven quarterback. I think they don't have a great coaching staff, and I think that's showing right now. So the Bears, it's been a train wreck, but I don't think that should be too much of a surprise. For the Broncos, as bad as things were last year, they were 2-1 at this point, even with Nathaniel Hackett. Right now, they're 0-3 with Russell Wilson and Sean Payton. So, yeah, this is one of those games one of these teams is going to have to win, even if they don't want to or haven't been playing like they deserve to. But the Broncos, to me, I think are the biggest disappointment in the league right now with the pieces they brought in and just how bad they have looked in these losses.
Okay, you hit on the Broncos, but let's talk some more about the Bears. I mean, is it time for them to give up on Justin Fields? What has been the biggest issue? issue. I mean, he was blaming the coaching staff.
Yeah, and I don't blame him. He hasn't been good enough. I don't think he's passed the eye test. But in his defense, I also don't think he's getting enough support. Now, they went out, they tried to get him DJ Moore this offseason as a number one wide receiver because the Bears just don't have a ton of talent. And, you know, they were hoping that was the Stephon Diggs to Josh Allen or the Tyreek Hill to Tua in Miami. And it hasn't worked that way, but I think for Justin Fields, the coaching staff has been an issue. You gave him a first-time head coach who's a defensive head coach yeah. for a young quarterback. You gave him an offensive coordinator who had never been an offensive coordinator before and is in his 30s. He's not overly experienced. You gave him a quarterback coach, also in his 30s, who only had 1 year prior of working with quarterbacks. I just don't think that's a recipe for a guy to succeed when Justin Fields is learning on the job and all of his coaches are also learning on the job because they're doing these roles for the first time. But with that said, you know, their patience wears thin in the NFL. And typically you get two chances as a quarterback. You get two coaches. Justin Fields had Matt Nagy. Now he has Matt Eberflus. And at that point, usually you cut ties. You don't give a quarterback a third coach. Instead, it's easier to just move on from the quarterback. So I think that'll be the case with Fields. But again, in his defense, they went from an offensive coach to a defensive coach. And I think that's a step back when you have a young quarterback you have to develop. That's not helping him. And we're seeing that play out on the field.
Hey, it is week four of the NFL season. We are going one-on-one right here in studio with Luke Mario, host of Mario on the Mic. And certainly the game of the week is the Dolphins and the Bills. I mean, can the Bills hand Miami their first loss?
They can. They are favored. They're at home. But I think the Dolphins certainly are the better team. I mean, they have the better record. But I trust Miami more. You know, oftentimes when you look at the games, it comes down to the quarterback play. And when you look at the expectations from Vegas, the team that is favored typically is the team with the better quarterback. And the Bills are favored, and I would say they do have the better quarterback in Josh Allen. But that's if we were just looking at it in a vacuum. If you take these quarterbacks and the systems they currently play in, I'd rather have Tua and this Dolphins offense than Josh Allen and the Bills offense. So I like the Dolphins on the road to get a win and keep on rolling tomorrow against Buffalo. I think the difference between the two quarterbacks, you know, neither one is like that ace pitcher. Or certainly Josh Allen's not that ace pitcher in baseball where you can count on that guy every time he takes the mound. To me, Josh Allen's more like the number two starter where sometimes they can be really good, sometimes they can't be relied upon. And that's the difference to me. There's a wider variance for Josh Allen. Tua, in this offense, I think can be very consistent. He may not have as high of a ceiling as Josh Allen, but his floor isn't as low. And so I say all that because for Josh Allen, he could go out there and play great, or he could have four turnovers and lose to Zach Wilson like he did in week one. So I trust the Dolphins more to be a more consistent team. Josh Allen has the ability to really blow up a game in a bad way for the Bills. And so when these two teams match up, I just trust Tua and that offense. And I think Miami gets another big win against the Bills tomorrow.
Do you think that Miami is the biggest surprise story so far this season? I mean, just offensively, the numbers that they're posting, they're an offensive juggernaut.
Yeah, I think how efficient or how effective they are, yeah, has been the surprise. I thought they'd be good. Like, they were a playoff team last year, right? So I guess we should expect them to have a good season. But yeah, just how dominant they've been on offense and the ability to win in multiple ways. And that's their other strength, which works against the Bills. You know, 2 years ago, the Bills had to play that windy game on Monday night against the Patriots. They couldn't throw the ball. They lost.
Yeah.
Last year in the snow, in the playoffs, they had to play the Bengals. Couldn't throw the football. They lost. The Bills win one way. The Dolphins, we've seen, can win a number of different ways. They were able to throw the ball to win in week one. They ran the ball to win week two. And then they did everything to score 70 points in week three, the most since 1966. So, yeah, what they're doing offensively, I mean, the Bills coach called it revolutionary this week. It is remarkable to see what they're getting out of Tua, a guy that we thought would be out of the league, and now he's an MVP candidate.
How concerned should we be? Give me a little therapy right now. I'm a Cowboy fan. Like, how concerned should we be about after that loss against the Cardinals? I mean, what was that?
I think it is a little concerning. I think the timing's bad. You lose Trayvon Diggs during the week.
Stephen A. Smith had a lot of fun with that.
Oh, of course. Absolutely. He was waiting for that moment.
He was.
You lose Diggs during the week, and then you go out there and you give up essentially 30 points on defense to the Cardinals. That's not great. There's a few things at play. They're another team that I think has to win in a certain way, and that's playing with a lead, and then they can get after the quarterback and they can run the football on offense, which is what Mike McCarthy wants to do. And Sunday against the Cardinals, they were playing from behind, and so Dak Prescott had to try to make more plays, and he couldn't do it, and they were bad in the red zone, and they couldn't come from behind, and that was an issue. And I think the red zone offense hasn't been good. I think that's where you miss Kellen Moore calling the plays, but you also miss Ezekiel Elliott as just that big guy that can get the ball around the goal line, or even Dalton Schultz, the tight end, which is, you know, tight ends make their money inside the 10-yard line. So I think those are the biggest concerns for the Cowboys. is trying somehow to fill the void of Trayvon Diggs on defense, and then trying to fill the void of those three pieces they're missing on offense to make sure they're more effective inside the 20. It was a bad loss, and it may be a warning sign of some concerns that could plague this team as the season goes on.
Hey, good stuff. Check him out, Mario on the mic. That is Luke Mario, our very own at Sports Map Radio Network. Stick around. Much more coming your way here at Hour 2, the Big E Sports Show.